A Word for Today, Lionsdown's daily podcast to help you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. Nothing could matter more. This isn't to replace your personal Bible reading and prayer, but rather encourage and help you in it.
It's Thursday, the 16th of July. Welcome to A Word for Today. And we are looking at the topic of real discipleship. We've seen that what is precious is what is counterfeited. And what is the most precious thing in our world is real discipleship, because that indicates real salvation, something that transcends the most valuable and precious things this world could ever offer. And we've seen that real salvation is very much the topic of the passage that we're going to come to now. We've entered Joshua chapter 13, and I'm now going to read again from verses 1 to 7, but you'll be glad to hear I'm not going to go through all those names and places. Verse 1 of Joshua 13. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess. This is the land that yet remains." And then there's a catalogue of the areas, divided actually into three zones, but described in terms mainly of the peoples who occupy those zones. And then God goes on in the second verse, the second sentence of verse 6 to say this, "I myself, or as for me, will drive them out from before the people of Israel." So in this ongoing task of building God's church, a task that is required in every generation, a task that has to be faced anew with every generation, God is saying that his job is to drive people out. And that is referring to the work that was fulfilled in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he turns to what will become the theme of part two. Verse 6 goes on, "Only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh." God has gone from describing his role to describing Joshua's role. And now come two imperatives, two commands. He says, "Only allot." That literally means actually to divide by the casting of lots. That's something that did happen in the Old Testament. That wasn't just leaving it to chance. It was God's means of mediating his providence through his control of all things. And so he's saying, take measures to divide up the land to the people. "For an inheritance," he goes on, "as I have commanded you." And then he says the same thing again in verse 7. "Now therefore, divide this land." It's the same thing, just divide the land up for an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. We've seen that part one was about the conquest, the dispossession of God's of the people of Canaan for God's people to come in, and part two, dwell in the land that God had dispossessed for them. Yes, he used his people to effect that dispossession, but it was accompanied by huge signs and wonders. And we see that it is very much the work of God. That point has actually been made all through those first 11 chapters of Joshua. But now the job of his church, this is the task given to Joshua and through Joshua to the people of God and through the people of God to the people of God that it pictures today, the church. Now comes the claiming of the land God has dispossessed, he has captured, he has made his own through invasion. So we now move from dispossession to dwelling. We move from the role of God fulfilled in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ to the role of Joshua, that is to say, the church. So we move from that part that God plays to the part that the church plays. A church has a particular responsibility now that God places upon it. And we have here actually what is the hinge of Joshua, what now introduces us straight into part two of Joshua, the allotting and dividing of the land. And this goes on for quite a few chapters. It's describing laying claim to the land, living in what has been captured. We'll see that that's not a particularly easy task as we go on. But it's describing laying claim to the work that God has done. Taking possession of and dwelling in the land is a picture of true discipleship, casting one's life upon the Lord Jesus Christ, claiming, applying, and living out the salvation of God. That's what this is all about, and that's what the next few chapters in Joshua are going to be all about, taking to oneself the work that God has done in seizing, possessing the land. And so we see that the topic here is real discipleship, allotting the land, dividing the land, claiming the land, living in the land, making God's work real by participating in it with one's life. That's what is being described here. And the question remains, what is it that will empower such a commitment? And the word comes twice. You see, the Bible doesn't just command us to do things, it also equips us to do things. So Joshua is, in effect, being commanded to make his discipleship and the discipleship of his people real by taking onto themselves practically, putting their lives into the work that God has done. But now comes the help, and it's in that word, inheritance. It comes twice, doesn't it, in those last two sentences of this passage. The last sentence of verse 6, only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now therefore, verse 7, divide this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. So the word inheritance is the word that is going to keep coming up. Now let me tell you an interesting thing. The first time the word inheritance was used was in Joshua chapter 11, verse 23. You may remember that was like the last verse of part 1, the closing verse of part 1, describing the end state. The middle sentence of Joshua 11, 23 said this, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance. There's that word appearing for the first time in the book of Joshua, to Israel according to their tribal allotments. It's looking ahead to the very thing that we are now at in chapter 13. But then, did you know that the word inheritance comes a further 42 times from chapter 13 onwards? Suddenly, we find ourselves in inheritance country. And the first two mentions of that in part 2 are in these verses that we're looking at now, the end of verse 6 and verse 7 of chapter 13. From dispossession to dwelling, from conquest to inheritance, from the work of God in driving out the inhabitants of the land to responding to that work by claiming that land for ourselves, settling in it, and so making God's saving work real in our lives, being, we might say, real disciples. And that inheritance is presented there in connection with each of those imperatives to allot and to divide the land as, I think, the motivation for real discipleship. So in the days ahead, we're going to be unpacking what that inheritance is describing, what this great gift from God to his people actually means, and how does it empower real discipleship. So we will return tomorrow to the inheritance, as it's twice mentioned, and see what that really means. And I pray that you will find it a great encouragement to your discipleship. And if you're not a Christian and you're listening to this podcast, you will long to be a Christian when you learn what is the inheritance that God gives his people. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the inheritance, that precious thing that you grant to your people. Please would you help us to understand it in the days ahead, and please would it empower real discipleship on the part of your church, and please would it call in many, many people from the world outside your church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A word for today, helping you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. This podcast was brought to you by Lionsdown at lionsdown.org.